Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This past Thursday, we celebrated our Lord's ascension. He is no longer visibly with us, but he has not left us. He is still with us always to the very end of the age. He is the word that is preached into your ear. He is in the waters of holy baptism to be your gown of righteousness. And he is the blessed bread and wine to give himself to you for the forgiveness of your sins, so he may live in you and you in him. He has ascended into heaven, but he has yet to leave you. He is still with you always. So wherever you go, there your God goes with you to strengthen you, to forgive you, to comfort you, to save you, to protect you, and to defend you always to the very end of the ages. But there is more. He also sends to you the Holy Spirit as a deposit of what is to come, a guarantee that heaven is yours. As you are clothed with Christ in holy baptism, so you are also temples of the Holy Spirit through the same. Now the Spirit is the eternal God who was with God from before the world began. He was there when the world was created, hovering over the waters, giving life. He sustains all things with the Father and the Son. And he lives in you with his gracious presence. Since you are a soul and a body, he lives in both your soul and your body. All that you are, he touches with this gracious presence to enliven and to sanctify. He's not restricted to the muscle of your heart. And he's simply not united to you in a metaphorical way, the way that we say a dead loved one still lives on in our hearts. No, the essence of the Spirit, the essence of God, dwells in your essence. He is united to you. For Christ said that he would send to you the Counselor. And through Ezekiel, he said that he would fill you with his Holy Spirit. Are you baptized? Then the Holy Spirit lives in you. Do not doubt this. For Christ does not send to you the Holy Spirit through lightning bolts or through warm, fuzzy feelings, but through this tangible act of baptism. St. Paul writes to Titus, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. God does not hold back. But as your cup overflows, so also you overflow abundantly with the Holy Spirit, and not just one time in your life, but constantly. For whenever you hear the word of God, the Spirit flies to you like a dove to come and rest on you, to strengthen, to fortify, and to establish you once more as his holy temple. So we busy ourselves with the word. We baptize. We commune. So our bodies might be filled with the Holy Spirit, even as we are filled with the Father and the Son. He is a deposit of what is to come, a guarantee that heaven is ours. He has sealed you and marked you with the Holy Spirit for the day of glory when the children of God will be revealed. We long for that day. We desire that day to be today, to be with our Lord in glory and honor, to be with him forever. But it has yet to come. So we wait. We patiently wait, filled with the Spirit. And yet this Spirit is not just sitting around idly inside of us doing nothing. He is living and active. He testifies of Christ. He directs your eyes back to Christ, and you need this, for you live during the days of the great tribulation. Ever since our Lord ascended into heaven, this great tribulation has raged on. Wars and rumors of war ruin men and countries. You've seen it. You can look back at history yourself. Famine, starvation, and hunger have plagued both men and animals. Again, you've seen it. Look at history. And death seems to still rule the day. We are free. Free through the blood of Christ. But we do not look free. We do not look like rulers of all things. We do not look like saints of a holy and righteous God who has power over all things. No, rather we look the opposite. We look like our God has forsaken us and abandoned us as he has gone into heaven to leave us here to face the perils of life on our own. How long, O Lord? How long must we endure the pains our sin has brought upon us? And his answer? For only a little while. For I am coming soon. Consoled by the Spirit, we are confident our ascended Lord has not forgotten us. He's not ignoring us, and neither has he left us. He is still with us always in word and sacrament. And he is visibly returning soon. He is coming soon to claim us as his own, and the whole world will see it. If you feel this comfort in your heart, then give thanks to God that the Spirit has ignited this in your heart. If in the face of difficulty, trial, hardship, you are able to confess with Job, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, may the name of the Lord be praised," remind yourself that this too is a work of the Spirit in your heart. Long for him. For when you are forsaken by every other comfort, when every man fails you because they too are mortal, there is the Spirit to comfort you. Through his word, he is there to comfort you. You need him. Not just to get through this life, but because Christ told you that their world would be hostile against you. And that hostility would come not only from those outside of the visible church, but even from those within the visible church. As Christ said, they will put you out of the synagogue, which was the visible church in their day. And so Christians will be against Christians, at least visibly, as even those who have set themselves up in the church attack the true church of God. They condemn you for being unloving, cold, and stuck up. Because here in this divine service, you have the audacity to confess that God himself is present in a holy and reverent way. They mock you that your teachings are uneducated and your morals are out of date. How do you ever expect to grow as a church if you keep teaching things that don't agree with the world? Morality has changed. Keep up with the times. And they are seriously offended when you tell them that the word of God is binding on all people and does not change. For this, many Christians have endured far more than simply a strained relationship. Many have been made martyrs. A faithful confession that the word of God endures forever, and no one is above that word. So we expect persecution from the world in some form or another. We expect more martyrs to be made even in this day, and we never expect the visible church on earth to ever get along. Rather, we expect infighting, constant disagreement and division over doctrine and practice. This was true even in the days of the apostles. It is also true today. And yet Christ told you all this beforehand so that you would not go astray. He tells you this so you wouldn't think something strange and unique is happening in your day and age. He tells you this so that you would not lose heart and turn away from him or think he has somehow forgotten all about you. He tells you all of this because he won't stop it. He could, but he doesn't. Because when you are weak, when you are humbled, when you are mocked and disgraced and rejected, then he is glorified. For God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the wise. And he is coming soon to put an end to it all. He will put an end to these days of tribulation. For then Satan will be shut up forever in hell, and all the wicked will go to be with that devil. But you will go to share in the glory of Christ. But for now we wait. He has ascended, but he is still with us always, not visibly, But his means of grace are visible. His word and his sacraments are visible. Through them he fills you with the Holy Spirit so that you may patiently endure whatever may come your way by living holy and godly lives. Oh, we all prefer to be in heaven right now, but we're not there yet. So we make it our goal to please him. Do this more and more. Increase in godliness, grow in good works, flee from every sin, for Christ has filled you with this Holy Spirit, and he doesn't sit around in you doing nothing, but he is living and active. He works in you to will and to act according to God's good pleasure, so you may abound in every good work. So put off the ways of the world and conform yourself to this word of God. For the Lord is coming soon, and each one of us will have to stand before his judgment seat. It may seem like a long time from now, but the end of all things is near. Soon the Son of Man will descend on the clouds of heaven, even as he ascended on those clouds. Soon the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. Soon you will be changed into glory. Soon you will be caught up together with all believers to meet the Lord in the air and to live with him forever. Soon, but not yet. The Spirit has convinced you of all of this, so do not spurn the Holy Spirit by ignoring his work. Do not think that you have plenty of time to receive him, that there are many days ahead to hear his word and receive his gifts. Hear his word today. Receive his supper today. For today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, but today. For tomorrow may never come. And then do not fear any calamity, adversity, trouble, or hardship that may come your way. No matter how life-altering or earth-shattering it may be, do not fear any of it. For even in the midst of this great tribulation, the Holy Spirit has led you to confess boldly, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation is able to separate me or is able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.